What's up, creep?
Yeah, I see you creeping on Channel 99. Thank you for doing so. Today I've got an awesome show today. We have Chapter Black. They are a band from Boise, Idaho. They are putting on a really cool fundraiser on the 28th with Gemini Syndrome at the Olympic venue. So I had them in and we talked a little bit about that. Their influencers and the way that they compose their music. A little bit about some of their other projects and some of the other shows that are going to be happening soon with these guys. We go over a lot of stuff, and they at the end will do an acoustic song, so make sure that you stick around. But such a dynamic group of personalities, a really good group of dudes to just hang out with. So make sure that you stick around for the full roundtable discussion of everything music. And I want to say thank you for tuning in once again, and make sure that you subscribe. You give us a 5-star rating, because who wants 4 stars? Nobody wants 4 stars. And make sure that you share the episode if you're a fan of myself or Chapter Black or anybody else that's been on my show. So anyways, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Shut up and sit down.
Now, dude. Awesome. Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in to Channel 99. I've got with us today Chapter Black. They are a band from Boise, Idaho, and they are awesome. Fucking dope. Thanks for coming and hanging out with me.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
I really appreciate it. I apologize for the lack of equipment. I wasn't anticipating so many heads to be in here, but I'm happy that I've got the whole band, so it's always a good surprise. Yeah. But anyways, we were talking about classical music before, because you do classical music, yeah?
Or you're
familiar with it?
I play a little bit of it just for fun. I'm not classically trained, but...
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I do listen to classical music sometimes, and I mean, anything that I like on the piano, I usually try to just play it on the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you ever play Clair de Lune? Because you asked me that, and I actually never even asked you.
I never actually got through the whole song, but yeah. I mean, I play by ear, so
sure.
What I could understand and learn, I was able to play. I probably got up until that 32nd note part. The scales up.
Flows.
Yeah. And yeah, that was pretty difficult, but...
Dude, I definitely know how it goes, man. I used to play all the time. And that was the last song I played on the piano under an instructor. And I told you that. So, yeah, a lot of respect. One of my favorite songs of all time, though, and my mom bugs me all the time. She's like, will you learn Clair de Lune again? And I'm like, Mom, that's like, I haven't played a song that's, I mean, that's not like a really hard song, but it's pretty hard for somebody who hasn't played in like consistently in a long time.
Well, I think it's not very hard up until that point where there's the octave scales that you go up. But I mean, like any time that if you ever just practice and you listen to something long enough, you eventually get it down.
You do.
For sure.
Sure.
It's funny, the thing that actually got me interested in that song, I don't know how familiar you are with video games or horror games, if you're a gamer or not. But
hardcore gamer.
Have you ever played The Evil Within?
Yes, I have. By the guy who created Resident Evil 4.
Yes. Well, Resident Evil in general.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Clair de Lune is part of the soundtrack of that game.
Yeah, it is.
And when I played it for the first time, I was like, oh, what's the song? This song's really... I like the song. It's creepy as shit in the game, but it's really pretty. So.
Did you beat that game?
Yeah.
I love that game. Yeah, and they have a second one.
Yeah,
I haven't played it.
Oh, it's pretty good. It's not as good as the first one, but it's good.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I'd probably rate the first one at like an 8, sadly. and I liked it. I did. If somebody was like, hey, man, have you played that? Would you recommend I play it? I'd be like, yeah, you should totally play a game.
Yeah.
But if somebody was like, hey, man, do you have a recommendation for a game to play? I wouldn't be like, The Evil Within.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I liked it a lot because I'm a huge survival horror fan.
Yeah,
and I feel like
and I played it on PS3.
Okay, so I played it on Xbox One, and then I switched over to PS4. So, I actually have both consoles now.
Traitor.
Hey, if I use both,
traitor. I'm just kidding. I have both. So.
Yeah.
It's like polygamy at that point.
Yeah.
Is it really I rarely play games. I'm just more of the watcher. And then I did play a game recently that a friend of mine got me into. It was a game called Detroit Become Human. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I never even heard of it.
It's, to kind of sum it up, it's pretty much androids.
Mm-hmm.
They become deviants, and they're supposed to go against their masters, or I don't know if you want to call them masters, but they pretty much start this movement to like have their own rights and stuff. And the way the game is set up is you can make choices for them, and they give different paths of like how the story will take or whatever. Okay. It's kind
of
cool.
So have you heard of Until Dawn or played that one?
That is awesome game.
It's the one he's talking about is a lot really similar to that one, where it's kind of almost like an interactive movie. It's just 90% cutscenes, and then you make
point and click.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. You make decisions every time that there's an interaction or a new path that you can go down. It's pretty interesting. It's kind of like the butterfly effect. So every decision you make affects the story. And, yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I get into, and I had this conversation on another podcast, but when I'm super video game nerdy. Like, right behind you guys is a bunch of old, like, Sega CD RPG classics.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yes.
32X. I've got so much game stuff. But I also used to work at, like, a video game store back in high school and stuff, so I kind of geeked out for a while. But for me, when I look at the new consoles, I'm like, all right, well, I've always been a PlayStation fan after Dreamcast died out.
Yeah.
But Xbox actually kind of took over the Dreamcast role as like the arcade machine.
Uh-huh.
And Sony, you know, they come out with, in my opinion, the better story-driven games. Like, Heavy Rain was so sick.
Yes,
dude.
Heavy Rain was
really
good.
That was so sick.
I love that one.
So many good ones. What was the other one? The Mold one. Why can't I think of it off the top of my head? The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
That game blew my mind, man. I played that game, and I was like, probably one of the best games I've ever played. But Nintendo also, by the way, has some of the best games I've ever played.
What about Pokemon?
I'm like a Mario Galaxy. Honestly, the best game I ever played was the original Super Mario Galaxy.
But what about Uncharted? Do you like that one?
I never got into it,
really?
Man. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Tomb Raider, Uncharted. Okay. Couldn't get into those types of games.
See, it reminded me of kind of like a PG-13 version of The Last of Us.
Okay.
Just how it was, the playability of it.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of the parkour aspect to it and everything, but it's more of like action against other people versus survival horror.
Gotcha.
And stuff, so.
Okay.
And I think they're made by the same people, are they?
They probably are.
But
more than likely.
Naughty Dog, I think it is.
Naughty Dog makes a lot of good games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not sure.
So
what are your guys' roles in the band? So we can figure this out for everybody here.
I'm the lead singer.
Gotcha.
And
introduce your names.
Andrew.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I'm David. I play guitar and background vocals.
I'm Zach. Play lead guitar.
I'm Nick. I play bass and lead kazoo.
Nice.
Joe, and I play the drums.
The drums.
Whatever they need.
BB drums.
That's cool. You guys are super quiet over here, by the way.
It's because I'm doing all the talking.
Yeah. It's all good. You guys have a show coming up on the 28th?
Yes.
We have a lot of shows coming up, actually. Well,
what shows you guys got? What's the first one coming up?
24th, we have a show for Next to Rock Music Competition at the Buffalo Club.
Gotcha.
We're going to be playing one song there. It's just kind of like a competition, see who goes on to the next round, pretty much. It's pretty cool. 28th, we have a show with Gemini Syndrome and Messer at the Olympic venue.
That's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That's the benefit concert.
And also As Fire Falls. Yeah, As Fire Falls is going to be the other local band that's accompanying us there. And playing there as well, and they're pretty good friends of ours. We've played a few shows with them, so
cool.
Actually, our Was it our first X show or our second X show that we played with S Firefalls?
First X show with Red. Yeah,
that's right.
You guys have done two X shows.
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
not necessarily X shows. One of them was a free one. The one they pointed out with Red.
With Red.
Yeah.
And then we did a local show with Trader's Gate.
Yeah. Yep.
That's cool.
And the proceeds for the Jim Rice Syndrome show are going to West Ada County School District for musical instruments, the music program, all that stuff. So good cause.
That's way cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Especially with a lot of band geeks over here. Really cool.
So
And then on the 31st, we're going to be traveling up to Jerome at the Diamonds Event Center, and we're going to be playing with Messer, which is also one of the bands that are playing with Gemini Syndrome and us and S Firefalls on the 28th.
And where's Messer from again? Are they like a regional band?
I don't want to swear,
but they are. I want to say they're from Texas.
Yeah, I think it's Texas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they're kind of far away.
They're good, though, man. I like them.
They're definitely a national touring band. I don't think they're international yet, but I haven't looked into them that much yet.
Sure.
They have a lot of good songs on YouTube, though, and online, so
that's way cool.
Yeah.
Have you guys played the Olympic before?
Oh yeah.
We have.
Yeah. We headlined the Olympic, I think, for what was it?
It was Face the Blast.
Face the Blast. Yeah,
yeah, and that was with Splatterthroat.
Yeah, it's Psychomachy.
Psychomachy. My friend's actually in Psychomachy. My coworker. I don't work with him anymore, but his name's Alex. He was the lead singer in Psychomachy. We worked together.
What kind of music do they play?
Like very like deathcore, like metal. Like it's death
pretty
metal.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the face they're making, but they're good, man. I like them a lot.
Yeah.
Jake Snow, those guys play some real killer shit.
It's a different band.
Is it?
Jake Snow.
If you like Logan from We Were Giants, if you like his really deep screams,
mm-hmm.
my ex-coworker and friend Alex from Psychomachy is a lot like really similar,
mm-hmm.
and he screams like that as well. A lot of the gutturals. Really low screams.
I do like that style.
Very brutal.
Yeah. Very guttural.
Right.
Very dark. Like very internal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's ridiculous. And he's got a beard like.
Yeah.
It's like 15 feet long. Like yeah. All the girls at the venue they just go that guy. It's cool, man. I don't have a beard anymore. It's cool.
That's funny.
So cool.
That's way cool. So you guys are doing this competition on the 24th, you said.
Yeah.
Let's backtrack. So what's the next step if you get, like, accepted? Like, what do you do after that?
I believe what happens is, so they're going to judge all these bands. It's eight bands, right? Eight finalists.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to judge us based on one song we play. And then from there... they pick, I believe it's two bands. I don't want to say it's one band. I'm pretty sure it's two bands they pick. And then we go to the Viper Room out in L.A. And we play for some judges there. And whoever ends up top dog wins that. We get a record deal or equivalent. But record deal is what is advertised. You know, fine print says monetary equivalent. But, you know, I'm going for record deal. That'd be great.
We get played on national radio.
And we get mainstream radio play. So.
You get distribution.
Yeah, we get moved from Sundays, which is still awesome. I mm-hmm. love Sundays at Randy. But we get moved from Sundays to Monday through Saturday on mainstream radio, which would be...
Yeah.
I mean, that alone on its own is great, but a record deal is something entirely, which would be freaking awesome.
That's cool.
For sure.
So what record deal, who would you sign with?
We don't know yet. I mean, it's just kind of like surprise sort of thing.
Yeah, there's no name behind it. So it's whoever this contest is being held by, honestly, because, I mean, I would like to be, you know, Roadrunner Records or, you know, Metal Blade Records or something just crazy sure. out there. That'd be crazy, you know?
Yeah,
the mentor sure. is kind of behind it, too, just from pulling my headphones. I know Chris Jericho is actually considered one of the mentors, and Jonathan Davis from Korn, so I guess that says something there.
Yeah.
Did you hear about his wife?
Yeah.
His wife.
Jonathan Davis.
What happened?
She died.
She passed away, man.
Like today.
Sucks.
Or yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
How so?
They don't know yet.
Wow.
I would say she's
She's like 39. She's super young. She's like
yeah. way too young.
She's 39.
Man. Way too young.
For sure.
She's
so
been battling like drug addiction for the last 20 mm-hmm. years. And she checked. She was in rehab. From what I read, she was in rehab. And then she went missing Friday. And then they found her this morning or something like that. And
it's fucking heavy.
This is Dustin, by the way. He's like.
Yeah, this is our manager. Managers. Dustin.
Yeah, he's the manager. Yeah. Yep.
Locked up management.
He's the guy in the background that you're hearing. So, anyways, continue, man.
Anyways, that's just what I read, that she had passed away this morning or something, and she was in treatment, and just dealt with some drug issues or something like that, you know. I didn't read too much, I mean,
yeah.
I didn't dive too much into stuff like yeah. that.
Not so. A suicide, but an OD.
I don't know.
Oh, it's kind of like speculation right now. I mean, we don't yeah. really know.
I don't really dive into celebrity
sure.
gossip, yeah. and gossip yeah. that much, so.
I do.
we literally heard about it just not long ago. And then yeah. earlier this week, too, we found out the singer from the metal band Huntress passed away from suicide.
No. I found out today way. About that, yeah.
That's why I was yeah. one of those raise your horns up hashtags.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, she was... I only watched that band once 5 years ago. And they were
dude,
great.
They were awesome, man. I saw them with Killswitch Engage, and they were great, man.
I have yet to see Killswitch Engage in concert live.
Bro, Huntress was fucking awesome, man.
I don't know. I've never seen them. Never seen Killswitch Engage.
I haven't either.
You're missing out on that one, too.
I really do. Sure. I really
another
want to.
Another band to check out live.
Yeah. Shit. There's a video of their guitar player that he has his... Huh?
Adam?
Yeah. He has... well, I mean, there's only one guitar player? I'm not
just
sure.
Two. Just two. There's Joel and Adam.
Okay, so well, anyway. One of them... One of them... There's a video of one of them going... to the bar.
Yeah, and he gets
in
a
mid-song.
Shot. Can I get some whiskey? He gets a shot of whiskey, man.
He gets a shot of whiskey.
And he's like, End of Heartache. And he yeah. finishes his whiskey, and he plays his solo to End of Heartache, and it's
yeah.
like fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, right in the middle of the crowd. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's what every guitarist should aspire to do.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I don't know if any of you guys have heard of this band. They're not together anymore, but they're a band from Seattle, and they're called Simon Says Die. And
nope, never
the
heard
name
of
sounds familiar.
You never heard of them. Okay.
Never heard of them.
I mean, they didn't really get too big, but their music is really cool. It kind of reminds me of Killswitch Engage, and the reason I'm thinking of them is because of that. The guitar player from Killswitch Engage, it looks a lot like the guitar player from Simon Says Die, and he kind of did the same thing. They played a show at the Eclipse Bar back when they were called the Eclipse Bar.
Yeah.
And he came out. In the middle of the crowd and went up to the bar and everything while he was
let
like,
me get a
shredding.
Shot bro yeah while well, he's shredding making everyone look bad yeah damn I can't do that stuff man I gotta stand it I almost have to stand in like 5 feet of cubic fucking space or else I'm totally out of my element.
I remember we played a show at the Eclipse and David tried walking to the bar.
Oh god.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
You're good, man. So I just want people to be able to hear you.
I've got such a sweet, sensual voice.
It's yeah. it's really
you're
deep.
A little quiet.
So just so people know, it wasn't always Chapter Black. Nick and David and Joe were in a band that was Chapter Black before, but it was called Lost in Silence. And then and that was when they had... what, three different singers?
So you were
who knows?
They're like rough two, three.
Yeah.
Dudes.
So every song that you, almost every song that you're gonna hear on our album, back then it had completely different lyrics and everything. And then I joined the band last year, I think in April or May.
It was April.
Springtime, man.
April, okay. And then May we went and recorded.
You gotta talk single. Into the microphone, dog.
I'm trying.
You sorry.
Yeah, so
it's kind of confusing not to talk loud or too talk loud.
I would just listen, and if your voice isn't as loud as his voice, then you should get closer to the mic.
Yeah,
you're totally good,
you're
man.
Good right
it's,
now.
It's,
yeah,
it's no.
Yeah. So I joined the band in April 17, and then we completely we changed our name when we went in to record with Nathan at Osmosis. We changed our name, released our first single, which is Welcome to Insanity, and then from there I rewrote all of the lyrics to the songs, and yeah, so that's where we're at now.
Didn't we change up a couple parts and songs too?
Yeah, I mean, not like not
they weren't like huge
really
changes,
dramatically.
Though.
I think we added an extra chorus in one of them.
Yeah, I mean, and we changed tunings, but that's about it.
Yeah,
man. It's
well because I sing I'm a natural like bass. I'm a second bass in choir. Okay. So
that's deep.
Yeah. So my voice my voice fits really well in the really low tunings, like drop A sharp or drop B flat or drop A or whatever. And we have a couple songs on the record in drop C, but live we've been playing them in drop A sharp. So
why don't you go drop C?
Just because
is it too low for just like the acoustics?
High. Drop C is higher than drop A sharp. So
Sorry. I'm thinking like A.
You're good. So drop C is just it's a step down from E standard, which is guitar.
Yeah.
Right? E standard guitar. It's a step down. And then you take the D.
Your A is lower than your C.
It's way lower. Right. So you take the D.
And that's
D.
What you plan.
Yeah.
So basically.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm thinking like in a bassist level, an A is up here and
oh,
a C
it's
is super
low. R A sharp is way down here. You know,
so,
B-flat,
yeah.
A sharp, whatever. But it's way down.
So that's what I'm thinking. Because an A, if you're thinking about it, a tenor would sing an A and a bass would sing a C. Yeah.
So
am I right? If you're looking at a treble clef.
Take the bass
clef.
Take the bass on the C and drop that one C, drop it down to a B flat or an A sharp, and that's what we play in is real low. I mean, I wouldn't say real low, but it's low for six string.
So if you're writing the music out on a graph, on a music staff, right? The bass clef is going to be different than the treble clef. So in a bass clef, it's going to look like the range is different, but in the actual
So when you're singing, are you singing on an A on like a bass or a treble clef? Because like when they match, right, it's going to be at the A point. So when I think
it's
low on a treble clef, but it's like high on a bass clef unless you drop all the way down.
Right. So, I mean,
like
I'm
super
singing
down.
I'm singing
no, low,
what's
down.
In my range, really. I mean, I honestly, I don't remember what my range was. It might have changed, too, since junior high. I mean, that's when I was in choir. But in junior high, that's when I was a double, like a second bass.
Yeah.
My voice was already really low.
Your
back
voice
then.
Is pretty deep, dude.
So, yeah, but I have a really high range. It just depends. It depends, because I can go, I can go almost as high as a tenor can, but it's just... singing really high constantly and doing it for a long time, it wears out your voice if it's outside of your range. So like in Welcome to Insanity, we recorded that in C or drop C on the record. And that's a really vocally demanding song in that tuning. So when we do it live, most of our songs are in drop A sharp anyway, so we just play that one in drop
A sharp.
So when you
drop down, it's easier for you to play.
Right. And so I can do a song that's vocally out of my range every now and then, but if I'm doing it too much, then it's harder for me to sing in my range in the other songs when my voice gets worn out from it.
Stresses your vocal cords, yeah.
Yeah. So.
And to compensate tunings for us, I just recently got a baritone guitar, but
we play baritones
to compensate
So what's a baritone guitar for people
who
don't know what it
is? So a standard guitar is anywhere from, I dare say 23 inches anywhere to 25 and a half inches. Anyone who knows, Gibson guitars, ESP guitars,
Do they hit certain ranges?
So once you hit to 25 and a half inch from the nut of the guitar to the bridge of the guitar, that's the length, right? So the tension is what it comes down to as far as the strings go. Mm-hmm. And when you tune down to a certain note, you lose tension, and it makes it real floppy. You could hit a note, and it goes sharp, and then when it starts to sustain a note, it goes from sharp to flat or... whatever, it makes the tuning sound stupid, and you sound stupid live. So, I mean, David, when I first joined the band, he was playing A sharp. He was playing A sharp on a Epiphone version of a Les Paul, and that's anywhere from I don't know. I'm gonna throw an estimate out there. It's probably like a 24 3/4 inch scale length. And I went and bought a baritone RG-IB6 baritone Ibanez guitar, and that's a 28-inch neck. And what that allows for is higher tension on the strings, allows for better intonation on the strings because you have better tension. You can use lighter string gauges for drop tunings. And David's playing a PRS-277 right now, and I'm playing in that Ibanez RG-IB6, and he's got a 27.7 inch scale length, and mine's 28 inches. So we can play A sharp like it's nothing. So basically what it does for us is we can write in these low tunings, and we can sustain these low tunings. And Andy, with his range, we can allow for really easy songwriting for him and play live in pretty much whatever tuning he wants to play in now, just because we have this extended range as far as our scale length goes, to make it easier on him, easier on us. Don't gotta buy special strings, you know. We just throw some shit on and we're good to go, man.
Well, it's cool because you guys have multiple guitars too, so you can tune a different guitar to a certain tuning and then just switch
right whatever he wants. We just swap out, man. We were doing that for a while for the first four or five shows. We were swapping guitars for a while. Yeah, mind blown, man.
Dude, I had no idea. That's why I was always wondering why they're swapping guitars out. I was like, maybe they're jamming so hard that the fucking
sometimes
the guitar strings are loose, so they just need somebody to like retune another guitar for them.
And sometimes it's, you know, the guitar players like guitars, certain guitar necks better for certain songs. Some guitar players like certain scale lengths for certain tunings. Some guitar players just would prefer to show off their guitar collection. Really up to the guitar player and the singer, honestly.
So when you have a really established band, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say Breaking Benjamin or something. So someone that has made a career and are rich off of their music, right? Usually their guitarists have one guitar per tuning for their song, plus a backup for each tuning as well. So let's say they for the live set, let's say they have three different tunings, they're going to have six different guitars on standby. Because if one guitar breaks for that tuning, then they're going to go and switch out a different guitar. Or, you know, they have any sort of, if they're switching to a song that's in a different tuning, they're going to switch out their guitar. And then if they mess up their guitar somehow, or that their guitar has any technical difficulties, then they'll have a backup for it as well. So
we aren't that rich.
So we're not yet.
We've got I've got a guitar and a backup for that guitar, and if he wants to play a different tuning, then I'm kind of screwed. David,
I'm with him there. I mean, I have the baritone, and then the backup for that is not a baritone. It's, I'd say, what, 25 and a half?
I think it's 25 and a half. It might be smaller than that, but
I mean,
we've done it, and it's worked. But, you know.
25 and a half, isn't that what, a normal Gibson is?
I don't want to swear on it, but, I mean, I think Gibsons are 25 and a half, but,
Or is it 20
Gibson.
Why is that?
It's honestly...
Is it the sound that it gives out?
It's manufacturer preference, you know. You know, no one played these drop tunings back in the 70s, 80s. You didn't really see much drop tuning going on until late 80s, 90s, and I don't even want to swear on that either. Because
I think Black Sabbath was...
Black Sabbath started drop tuning. Tony Iommi started playing E-flat, D, all kinds of crazy stuff. So
It didn't get heavily popular until maybe Korn came about and Limp Bizkit.
Grunge. I mean, even grunge, like Nirvana played crazy tunings too. So, you know, it's just all up to the player and the I mean, I guess player demand really drives the main industry. I mean, you see Gibson's kind of had an issue with, I'd say, them going under. I don't want to, throw them under the bus because I don't really know how their money's going. But, you know, people have started buying Gibsons less because, you know, brands like Ibanez, Schecter, PRS, and all these other guys are starting to, key into, the modern players' wants and needs.
ESP is another good brand.
ESP, definitely. Yeah. ESP has been one of the front runners, especially Ibanez too. PRS has been moving their classic design further and further to the modern horizon, you know?
Yeah.
And how are they doing that?
They're, well, I mean, extended so, range, they're adding more strings to a guitar, 7-string, 8-string, 9-string.
Yeah.
Schecter has 11-string guitar, I'm pretty sure.
What? So, it was, yeah.
And how do you learn 11-string guitar?
11-string.
You
like,
don't.
You find a teacher? Like, you find a teacher?
You just experiment, man.
You just try, man.
You learn 6, then you learn 5, then you
And then you just you strip certain strings off if you don't need them, and then you just expand. Like,
I don't want to say that. I want to say you try to play all the strings. Yeah. it's fun, man. I mean,
and that just gives you like a completely different range of music.
Yeah, man, it's like from taking like, I don't know, like let's say they have like 11 string guitars and they're not like doubled on each string like a 12 string guitar would be. An 11 string goes from like a soprano range all the way down to like a contra bass ridiculous range.
I didn't even know there was an 11 string guitar.
You got to bring this down to an elementary level for somebody like me.
So I'll make it this way.
I played the trumpet and the piano growing up, man.
Well, you got plenty of keys in the piano. But
so a guitar, though, is a whole. I know absolutely nothing about guitar. So right now, the last 10 minutes have blown my mind. I had no idea the neck size.
Well,
nuts to the fucking.
I mean,
to the guts.
Guitars are like guys.
I had no
man.
Idea, man.
Guitars are like guys. We're all different sizes. It's cool, man. So, I think the biggest guitar I've seen, has been like I don't know, like a. I think what Jared Dines has like an 18 string or something crazy.
That's what she said.
Something like that. But as far as certain guitars do like.
But does he use them all?
Right, use them all. Hopefully,
well, Jared,
use them all.
You've seen Jared Dines, right? You've heard of him at least. No,
He's in the band Rest. So
he's like
no idea who he is.
Awesome. He's a very talented musician, and he's also a comedian. So he makes a lot of comedy videos related to music. Mm-hmm. And so he got what was like a it was an 18 string guitar.
Yeah, he got made by Ormsby Guitars, who makes like super custom guitars out of Australia.
I mean, he got that just to make one YouTube video, pretty much. I mean, I don't think he's going to use that in any live performance or anything like that.
No,
it's obviously. I mean, it's just specifically for.
But it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool,
it's
man.
Cool.
It's cool.
He got it because it's cool, and because he's YouTube famous, so he's going to make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good for him
with
man.
That video. Yeah, but it's cool. I mean, you can get any guitar that you want, pretty much customized, and get a custom build on it.
That's cool.
As far as like scale length goes, though, like. So I think the biggest one I have seen is 11 string guitar that's been made normal as far as like a manufacturer will make. Rondo Music, I think, who makes Agile guitars, I think the biggest one they make is a 9 string, but I've seen the biggest one 11 string.
In case you're wondering what an 18 string guitar looks like, it looks like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. But so basically what they're trying to do is make
do you play it flat, you pick it like
yeah, I mean, you can do what you want, man. Yeah. you could slap it, you could play Toast in a Bossy shit, you could slap it, you could pick it. I mean, whatever you want to do.
That's the great thing about music and creativity.
Yeah,
you
it's
just
like
do whatever
fucking
the fuck
quartet
you want
on there.
It doesn't matter. So it's like the high string is it's like soprano then some, and then you could go down to the lowest string and it's like double triple bass, and it's just it's just ridiculous, man. So,
it's like a bass.
It's insane.
It's like a bass, or it's like two basses mixed in with an 8-string guitar.
A 6-string and a 6-string and a 5-string had a baby, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
So technically, do the people who play these guitars with 11 strings, do they play it as if they're playing two separate instruments at once?
Oh,
like,
definitely.
Yeah.
They're that good. Okay.
So I've seen videos where people who play even 9-string guitars, they're playing like full arrangements where you wouldn't even need a bass guitar if you didn't want one, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen like on YouTube, there's videos where it's like 9-string guitar versus bass guitar, and it's just been like, oh, the 9-string guitar could do all this stuff, and you know, they got a 6-string bass, whoop-de-doo. I got 9 strings over here, you know?
And it's kind of like the guitarist from Coheed and Cambria in the, in the Welcome Home song that they have. Their guitarist has a guitar, and it's like two guitars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he switches back and forth, like from one he'll do a solo on, and the other he'll do rhythm.
Yeah, he plays a double neck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double neck.
Whoa.
And it's pretty cool. It's like two guitars in one, so it has two necks. It has 12 strings, 6 strings on each neck.
This is in a video?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you can see it live or anything like that, it's pretty cool.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what the people want.
I don't know what they want.
So, Joe, tell us about your drum set.
They want dick pics and drum sets.
From the same person.
From the same guy.
Joe drops his
nuts on his drum set. You guys are so quiet over here, by the way.
Zach and I are the vocal ones of the band.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I can tell.
And it's funny because we're extroverts. Zach and I are both extroverts, and we butt heads a lot. I mean, we're really good friends, but any sort of business decision goes, it's like we have to really, really compromise.
Yeah.
No, I know how it goes, man, but that's sometimes that builds the best business relationships, in my opinion. Sure. Like that.
You got to be straight up, man.
Yeah, you need somebody who can look at it in a different way and to give you a different viewpoint so that you can not necessarily question what you think, but question, like, did I think this through?
Yeah,
like, and not whether or not is this the right decision, but did I think this through all the way?
There's so many aspects now to the music industry where, like, you have to, like, oh, shit, did I do this right?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, and you have to
so competitive, too, man.
If you want to be friends and also have a business, which is what this is, I mean, for some people, it's a hobby, you know, but for us, we want to actually go somewhere with this.
Yeah, sure.
You have to be able to separate, you know, business and pleasure, pretty much. Like, so friendship. We don't include the business inside the friendship and vice versa. Otherwise, it'd just be traumatic. And, you know.
Cool, man.
As part of the year.
I have nightmares.
There's been a few times where Zach and I have, like, gone at it.
Yeah, big time, man.
As far as Chapter Black goes and some decisions. And then, I think you two? Yeah.
No,
well, me
no,
and Zach.
Me
and Andy,
man. That's
what I thought.
Yeah, we've gone crazy.
And
just sit in the corner.
Yeah. And we eventually work it
out. He's got his 2 cents, man. You're gonna get
he's got it. Don't worry. He's got it.
You
he just
keep,
it
hold
in.
On to that thought, man. Let him finish his real quick. But well, I want to hear what you have to say.
And it's funny because Zach and I, we've gone at it before, but eventually I think we're both the kind of person that we're not afraid to say how we feel, but we're also not the kind of people that eventually won't budge.
Yeah,
or give a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think we both kind of say, "All right, fine, I'll sacrifice a little bit of this."
I think it's mostly like we'll try it. Like, fuck it. Yeah. We'll try it. I'm tired of hearing about it. We'll fucking try it.
Yeah.
And if it, and then all of a sudden it sounds good. I'm like, oh man, fuck you. It sounds great. like when I wanted to
do Welcome to Insanity and drop A Sharp instead of C. I think everyone was kind of nervous about it at first, and then we tried it, and it sounded good.
Well,
so.
I think it's more so like, well, fuck, man, change. I've been doing it this way. I don't want to fucking change it now, you know? And honestly, it doesn't fucking matter how the guitarist and everything change it.
Well, I think change scares a lot of people.
Change is scary, bro.
Yeah.
We're creatures of habit.
Exactly.
That's nicely put right there.
All right,
we do not like change.
You look.
What
were
you saying, man?
You look
antsy. I was like, I was getting anxious to hear what you had to say, but you're so timid.
I'm not timid.
You're so big.
Trying to talk between these two is
impossible. Nick has
impossible.
Do any of you guys play drums?
Just jump in, dude. Just jump in.
Nick has a lot of opinions, but he won't talk about them unless he's drunk.
Do you want a shot?
No, I'm all right. Back to the pleasure thing. If Adam and Eve is listening to this podcast somehow, give us free shit, please.
Wait, so Adam and Eve exist?
No, the store, bro. The store.
I want
that was my 2 cents.
He needs some help.
Dustin doesn't approve of what I
butt
just said.
Butt plug lingerie, please. Man lingerie.
Mangerie.
I mean, you can put a stop to this anytime that you want.
I'm just, whatever.
He's just. he's the
I
New
got
Year.
Up at like 3:30 this morning. I'm beat.
He's between legal and not legal right now. Honestly, he's just like whatever. I'm taking a nap.
He's like, you guys should watch what you say because you need to protect your image.
I have caffeine. I've got stuff that can keep you awake and alert.
Oh, you got some pre-workout stuff, huh?
Yeah. And I've got pre-workout.
Creatine, some C4, bro.
5-hour energy, bro. Yes.
No, I have Rhino Rush in there. Yeah.
That will get your ass up, I promise.
I just tried
that recently. I had a weird aftertaste. It's called Ephedra, bro. Ephedra extract.
Do you guys want one? Because they're in there.
You know what?
I mean, I feel pretty woke right now.
I get
now.
Them for free. So,
oh, you get them for free?
Yes.
In that case, I will have one.
Snag one.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
Justin, you want one?
No.
Do you mind if I
steal
one?
The elusive manager.
I will be up all night and
take a sip off of somebody else's. Just take like a little sip.
How do you open this thing?
This device is beyond
my comprehension. How do you open this thing?
I think last time I came over, David figured it out, bro.
Oh, yeah, you twist it and pull. Sorry, right. Dustin.
No, that's cool, because David somehow worked his brain. Holy shit,
dude. I'm not that dumb.
Yeah. Twist and open it. Literally open it. Like, twist and open it. Oh, my God.
Bro, do you have some samples of your pre-workout?
I don't.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, continue. So we've got the shows that we already talked about. We're doing the benefit concert. Where can people buy these tickets, by the way?
Yeah, so right now we are selling them individually as well as Fire Falls. Mm-hmm. A lot of the local, like us two local bands, we both have tickets on hand to sell.
Seriously?
All right, so
you guys having trouble with that?
So how does the snob go? Is it perpendicular or parallel? Because
just like that. Because this geometry thing is fucking with me.
Special. Oh, no, it's not special. It's a very small device.
So it's righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Oh no!
Now how am I gonna stay awake for this entire interview, man?
They're not going to.
Oh, no.
I would just recommend putting it back down. I think it's broken, dude.
That was keyword.
It literally is like,
he's like, he goes, I would recommend you put it down.
All you have, all you guys had to do is just twist it barely, he goes, and it pops open. He goes, you twisted it too hard.
You're fucking stupid. Oh. Just put it down.
You're all good.
You're good. Well, technically, I started the twisting before he even dig into that.
He helped me. Help me twist to get
deep. There's a slight chance that I might have messed it up.
You know what? You know what we should do? Because we still have a ton of tickets on hand. We need to go downtown and meet with people and start selling them.
You should.
You know, me and David did that, and we were scared of half the people we saw at the Cactus Bar, but that's because we're little sissies. So we need to bring Nick with us this time.
I had that idea before, and I had mentioned in our group chat, hey, we should go downtown and do this, and I never got a straight answer from anybody.
Oh, come on.
That we were going to do that. So I ended up making other plans, and then you and David went downtown without everyone.
I think the problem was they saw David and they're like, "Whoa, dude, too much man for me. I can't approach this guy."
Yeah.
Did you guys want to give these listeners a taste of this song?
Let's do it.
opening track to our EP called Prologue. You can find it on Spotify.
We might this podcast up.
You can find it anywhere.
So our EP is Prologue, and you can find that on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play Music.
I talk too much.
Pretty much anywhere online, you can find that.
Nice.
And the single is called "Let Me Drown." This is our second single.
First song on the EP.
First song on the EP.
We might actually be playing a acoustic version of this one, so I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, as long as the as long as everything plugs in and works, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure it'll be good.
Can you turn it down a little bit?
Oh my god. Shut up.
You can't hear because you don't have headphones.
Oh, got it.
It's madness.
When
it's
not
there.
You want me to sing it for you?
No. That's the last thing we want.
I like you. Bastard. Sing it, Joe. Get in there, baby.
How long did it take you guys to record your whole album? Like, the totality of this?
Totality, probably about 3 days worth of recording.
72 hours.
72 hours.
Give you a timestamp. 72 hours or then some.
I'm the one-take Willie of the band.
And that's for 6 songs. And
I don't even think it took that long,
course
man.
Of how long?
I don't even think it took that long, because we went to the studio 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, and the first time was for Welcome to Insanity, and then we did 2 times, maybe, for the last 4 songs.
So we got used to the timing of it and being accurate with playing. So we were originally when we first started Welcome to Insanity, when we recorded that one. We had. Like a day to record that, a full 8-hour day. It took that long to record one song because of accuracy and getting used to the recording process. And then after that, we were able to record two songs in a day, and then three songs. And
yep, we kind of sped up our process.
Yeah,
the last three songs we recorded, we kind of, I wouldn't say we rushed it, but you know, we wanted to get this fucking, we wanted to get this EP done for the Red Free X show, and we wanted to have something to give to our fans. So
yeah, well, but, and we, you know, got,
it sounds good.
We got used to doing it, and
yeah, definitely,
and everything. So I wouldn't say rushing is the right word. I would say just being more accurate,
yeah,
with our time.
Especially because we record in a, like a, it's almost as if someone just, actually, I won't say as if, someone definitely, the engineer recorded us as we're playing as a live band together. So it's almost as if you're getting a live recording of the entire thing, as far as instruments go.
Yeah.
We play as a band until we think, hey, we got a good take. Of the all the guys playing together,
yeah, and then I'll do the vocals, yeah, last, just, separate.
So did you? So you go in and record drums in a studio?
I don't mean to interrupt, but this is the
best part.
Best part of the song.
The best part.
I want to single out this part.
The bass is the best part of this whole song right now.
as Glenn Fricker said, that the bass is the best part in this mix.
I was told by Glenn Fricker it was.
Yeah, sick.
David really dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah. This is the only song that we've written so far. Well, actually, we have another one that's coming up that no one's heard yet that I've written. But this song, I'm usually the singer, the lead singer. And this one, I actually had a part in.
He co-wrote the solo. I would say he wrote the entire solo. But
yeah,
the entire
bridge part, I think.
Well, not the entire bridge. I played the little, you know, discordant crazy shit. But Andy,
discordant part, though, it was my idea.
Well, whoever's idea was, it was a good idea.
And it sounds really cool. Like, I have a lot of pride in the song because I actually have some musical creativity.
And this is, I wouldn't say it's the most popular song, but it's, I think it's our favorite song to play. It's because how dynamic it is.
Yeah.
But Andy,
dude, you guys are good, man.
I want to embarrass myself.
I'm jamming right now. Like, internally, I'm like trying to do both. I'm like trying to jam and listen
Thank
to you.
You
guys.
Thank you. Andy actually recorded the solo just because my hands got tired. And I had a brand new guitar, right? I had that baritone. And just because it's so much bigger, the frets are like longer to reach for. So it was kicking my ass on the solo, and my hands were already tired from recording, you know, the entire song, and then especially multiple takes. I think we did like three or four takes, right? And yeah, it just kicked my ass. So Andy's like, here, I'll jump on it real quick. And he wrote the solo anyways, but, you know, as embarrassing that is, as me being the lead guitarist.
Well, you know well,
not
like,
really,
hey,
though, because
I mean,
you're still playing it, right? And that's still fucking impressive.
I'm still alive, sweating my ass
still
off.
Still impressive,
playing it,
man.
The funny thing. The thing that I was going to say was, I mean, you've written the solos for every other song. Except
every song.
I mean, every other song except for Let Me Drown. So, I mean, there's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Well, until later, like, oh man, this solo in Let Me Drown is great. The rest of the song solos suck.
The funny thing is, when we first released the song, Zach was bragging about, like, oh, David plays a little thing. And like
which part?
A thing. It was after the second chorus.
You can talk into the microphone.
After the second chorus going into the somewhat dynamically going into the bridge thing.
You sound so good on a mic.
Well, sweet.
It's kind of hard to talk
Dustin's
into the
dropping
mic
stuff
with
next to me.
I tuned it to your highs and your lows, and you haven't even talked into it yet.
So it's weird because when we did this song, I'm usually just a rhythm player. So I'm usually just jamming the part. There you go. I'm good. And when we went to do this song, and the little lead part going into the bridge,
mm-hmm.
I think Andy, you came up with it, and I ended up playing it.
So I came up with, I think, most of the leads in this song, in Let Me Drown, and then I taught David the leads in the bridge, and then Zach came up with his own lead on top of that to harmonize.
Yeah.
With those leads, so they're
Dude,
both playing
I love
two.
Listening to how bands make music.
Yeah, So in,
because you're all different. Yeah, every band I've talked to, and I've had a few bands in here, and I've talked to them about how they make music, and every band collaborates similarly, but in completely different ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, for us, our vocalist is also a guitarist, so it's one, it's a conflict, and two, it's also a writing process. Well, so we have to be like, hey, you, we write guitars, but we also gotta be like, hey, you, that's a good idea, so we're gonna borrow it, you know.
So it's weird. Well, if I write something, I have to think, all right, would this be a good fit for
Chapter Black
or something else like my other band, or like, you know.
Yeah.
And so I usually collaborate with Zach on anything that I write, and if he likes it, you know, because he's a lead guitar player, and so him and David kind of have the say in what mm-hmm. music will go in Chapter Black,
because
they have the creative
they're also influence. Really creative guys, yeah.
And but we all write differently. So yeah. I'm really dynamic when it comes to my writing. I like to switch things up a lot, and they like to write a lot more hooks, so a lot more kind of like mainstream or just repetitive things that'll get in your head and really something really catchy, right? I like to be more complicated.
I'd even dare to say that you have a more clairvoyant style, whereas David is like, you know, David's influenced by a lot of mainstream bands, and whereas I'm like, I used to play
super indie style.
I wouldn't say indie style. I'd say more like, I dare say, I mean, I will say Nickelback. Sorry. No one. Listen, if you hear Nickelback.
I love that band. I'm sorry.
Once you hear Nickelback, please do not hang up. Do not close your phone out. Like, this podcast is still cool, I promise.
I mean,
David is into Nickelback. He's into a lot of cool, really cool bands. Nonpoint, Red. He's into a lot of those bands that have like catchy, really badass songs.
They're all influenced within the same genre. Yeah,
and I play a lot of, like, I used to play nothing but like deathcore, death metal. Like, I used to play 7-string, and I got rid of my 7-string when I joined this band because I wanted to play with these guys.
What now?
And I'm going to be the one person.
I used to play a 6-string, yeah.
I'm going to be the person that bites the bullet here and say, I'm going to say, even though I don't like Nickelback per se, they all of, like, every single one of their songs pretty much is a radio hit.
Well,
it is generally a catchy song, mm-hmm. and that's why
they're all ballads.
That's how they.
I wouldn't say necessarily all of them are ballads, though.
Right. I would say they write their music in the mindset of making money on it, on each song.
Sure.
So they're going to be very, I guess, overplayed, overhyped. I mean, I think that generally that's why everyone hates them anyway.
It's because they're making money and they aren't. That's the fucking problem, man.
I mean, have a thing with that band. My dad and I grew up listening to the Silver Side Up record, and his favorite song was Never Again. So every time I hear that now, it just brings back memories for me.
Yeah, I mean, I see. I'm sure most people have seen the 4-chord. Video now that's like 10 years old.
Yeah, no shit, on YouTube.
Dustin's over here having a panic attack.
He's like, fuck.
His anxiety started to really set in. He's like,
dude, we gotta fucking cut 90% of this. This band's already going underwater. Fuck. It's like, Nickelback was in the conversation. Jesus Christ. Cut.
You're fucking funny, dude. I wish you would have told me you're gonna be so goddamn tired. I would have bought you some something to drink with some energy.
Let's podcast and party. I'm like, I gotta go to work at 5 in the morning.
If I could open this fridge that's like 7 inches by 7 inches, I could give you one of these energy drinks, but I haven't figured it out yet.
I've got extra ones out here in my kitchen.
Your thing.
My kitchen. That didn't fit in there. So I mean, if you really need one, I'll go snag one for you.
No, it's all good.
But if that's the case, then you guys got to carry on a conversation.
Let's do it.
Do you want one?
No.
Who wants one? I'll snag him real quick.
It's only going to take 2 seconds. Step out
for a second. Wait, you're not actually going to ask one of us to grab them for you?
Hey,
not on my stream, bro.
Yeah, I can't
you guys
okay.
What's that?
All right. So as you're facing the stove, it's on the left hand.
Edit this, so, like,
go to my kitchen. Look at my stove. As you're looking at my stove, it's to the left-hand side in the cupboard all the way to the top, all the way to the left-hand side in the actual Rhino Rush box.
Oh, man.
In the actual Rhino Rush.
I wish I was, honestly, I wish I was endorsed by Rhino Rush because I drank their drinks a lot on my way to work, and that'd be man, it'd be fantastic.
I wish you were, too.
We'd be partners, man. Seriously, dude. Endorsees.
I mean, endorsed by anything would be nice.
Have you guys tried the Rhino Rush Relax?
No, I have not. I didn't even know they had that.
It's like a...
You'll get a chance.
It's like a feel...
Yeah,
it's like
feel good.
It's like a feel good. Yeah, like good vibes. Basically, it's like a bunch of all natural, like St. John's Wort stuff,
herbal,
like that.
Herbal stuff.
You know, like an herbal relaxation, yeah. And it works. It mellows you out. But when you wake up, you feel kind of hungover.
Groggy,
a little hungover.
So,
to be honest with you.
When I was actually big into working out, you know, about 20 pounds ago, when I was actually somewhat worth the shit. I used to take a lot of like Blackstone Labs supplements and Rhino Rush energy drinks and this and that shit. And man, it was great. I used to take that and Blackstone Labs, this thing called Euphoria, and it was like their relaxation supplement. And man, I took a couple and whew, hello, you fall asleep good, man.
I believe that.
It's like I don't know what they put in their shit because you know. I don't really ask questions as long as I don't get popped on a drug test, but that was some good shit.
Well, I can tell you from a manufacturing standpoint, because I do make nutritional supplementation.
You can make protein for me, man.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a little expensive.
Yeah,
on my
it is.
End. Well, I mean, not really. Like, if you're looking at it per bottle, like per unit cost, but I mean, I have to buy like 500 units at a minimum.
I don't know if I'm going to use 500 units in a year. But
I don't think so.
I use about 5 units in a year, but as it is right now.
We are getting protein in eventually because we're working on our certifications with a couple Division I NCAA schools.
You know, if... As long as it's NCAA, like NCAA, as long as they're like, oh, it's good, you know, like Muscle Farm, those guys,
yeah.
NFL, NCAA, UFC, those guys love those guys. I mean, so, if you get to the point where you make protein that, you know, I don't think anyone's going to make supplements that are FDA approved, but, you know.
Okay. No, my stuff's all FDA approved. I have a girl in the UFC. I have, like, professional fighters that are drug tested.
Hell
I sponsor,
yeah,
like, high schools and colleges and stuff. So
my
hold on 1 second.
I'm gonna plug someone.
Yeah. The dog went out.
Bye-bye, doggy.
So
continue.
Sorry. My my friend from high school, Amanda Bynes, she got in. I don't know how she got in MMA, yeah. But
that sounds like a celebrity name, bro.
Right?
It is a celebrity name.
It might as well be. Yeah. But she got in MMA. I'm not sure how. It might have been through her boyfriend, or it might have been through like curiosity, or maybe she got in a fight at a party. I don't know. But you know, she does MMA now, and she's been kicking ass, okay. Man. I don't know what her record is, but she's been kicking ass. So
what was that show like? 10, 12 years ago on Nickelodeon, it was like something 101, and it had Amanda Bynes.
Zoe 101?
Yes.
Was that what it was called?
It had Britney Spears. Like,
it wasn't
The Amanda Show? The Amanda Show.
Amanda Show.
Amanda.
She was on all that, too.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, like Zoe 101 and The Amanda Show.
I don't think she was on Zoe 101. Oh, maybe she was.
Played,
she
maybe.
Probably was.
I think she was.
I didn't watch those.
If not,
I'm a little older.
If she wasn't like a reoccurring character, I think she was at least a... like somebody that was making a cameo or something,
sure.
On that show. But yeah,
I haven't seen that show in a long time.
Yeah,
all I remember is I watched Zoe 101 and remember the main star was related to Britney Spears, and, that
and that's
was
all you.
It.
That's all
and
he
whenever,
needed, man.
Now I think
know.
About
he
the
was
Amanda
set.
Show.
Whenever I think about the Amanda Show, I think about Drake and Josh because that's how they got their star
my
as
gosh.
Well,
dude. So much
twins?
Nostalgia right now.
How old are you guys?
I'm 26.
Okay.
I'm 25.
Yeah.
I'm 23. I'll be 24 in October.
I'll be 27.
Whoa. I think I'm the youngest, honestly. 23 is the youngest.
I'll be 27 in November.
Nick, how old are you?
I'm 25.
27.
Ooh, old man River over there.
I keep forgetting Joe's the oldest one of us.
Wow. Yeah, he's old, dude.
I'm going on my 33rd year.
He remembers when Zeppelin was like brand new and shit.
Nice.
Weird.
Yeah.
So we are definitely in a little different. Like, you guys are all pretty much within the same age group.
I mean,
27, you're the oldest, yeah?
Technically, we're all millennials.
Joe's the oldest.
We're all millennials.
Technically, we're not ruining the society. We're all millennials. We'll blame it on
an older millennial.
Yeah, we'll blame it on the guys younger than us.
You are a younger millennial.
Yeah, but I'm in the military, so I don't count, I guess.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But probably do, because I stereotype for a living.
Well, I'll tell you, the guys that don't like the military stereotype, you know, the military is not being millennials, so I guess, I don't know. I'm in this gray area of weird shit.
I have access to military data, and yeah, I mean, I can stereotype millennials from all over the place. I do it for my clients. Yeah.
I mean, there's guys like that are like 2, 3, 4 years younger than me, and they're like, they've got a different mindset than I do, and it drives me insane sometimes.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, you have Gen X and Gen Z
that are coming up. But I'm like, I'm talking about like millennial, like guys that are like, they're born in the millennial time frame.
But they're like borderline Gen Z.
Yeah, I guess. But they're in this weird mind frame of shit where like, well, why? I'm like, you're in the military, man. Don't fucking ask why. Just do it, man.
Yeah.
I just do it. If it sounds wrong, then maybe I'll ask a question. But I'm just going to do what you tell me to do until I have some kind of arousing suspicion that this might be illegal, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, so completely off topic, but before the podcast started, you and I, we were talking about the light speed barrier and how
and a part of how we skipped off that.
Yeah. So, so I wanted to ask you, is there anything different this time? Because I remember, it was like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, they thought that a neutrino had surpassed the speed of light.
A neutrino bomb, bro.
So, I have to be honest with you, I'm not even familiar with that.
Okay, so yeah, so there was this huge debate going on at CERN, which is the Large Hadron Collider.
Sure.
I
think they just upgraded that, right? Am I correct on this?
I'm not sure. Actually, I think they did. I've heard about that, but anyway, let's
Google it. Keep talking while I Google this, because I'm super interested.
So they sent a light particle, an electron, and they also sent a neutrino to, at the same time, to a different laboratory somewhere across the world. It was like 6,000 miles away, and the neutrino actually arrived there like a millisecond faster than the electron.
Yeah,
the speed of light.
I think that's exactly what I read.
Right, but so this was a couple years ago, and they did a lot of different research, and they redid the experiment multiple times, and they found out that it was just some faulty thing in some wiring or something with
the algorithm or something, maybe.
Yeah, just something with the equipment that they had. It wasn't completely accurate. So
this one is from July 19th. So this is the one I was talking about.
Speed of light, no longer the limit.
So, wait, nope.
So yeah, this was.
You're talking about April 1. I'm talking about the one that was just...
I don't know. I'm talking about one that was like a year or two ago. I mean, this...
I'm going to let people watch this.
Okay.
We're watching this. Okay. Speed of light, no longer limit.
Here, David,
I got you a treat. Oh, wow. Princeton, New Jersey, physicists sent a pulse of laser light through a cesium vapor so quickly that it left the chamber before it had even finished entering. Whoa. 310 times the distance it would have covered if the chamber had contained a vacuum.
See, now that's if a chamber had contained a vacuum, so was it not a vacuum then? Or what? Because you don't. So a vacuum, by definition, is the absence of air.
Yeah.
Or of the absence of.
There's literally zero restriction.
Yeah. So if it's saying, if it contained a vacuum, that's kind of an oxymoron, like a contradiction itself. Like, containing a vacuum doesn't really make sense, because you can't really contain a vacuum. That would imply that a vacuum is something, but a vacuum is the absence of anything.
Right. Dude, you know what, man? I could geek out for hours. Yeah. I 100% believe that we are told that we have limited scientific capabilities, but I 100% believe that there has been extraterrestrial interference, so, and there are things that we can do that they do not want us to do.
Right. Okay. Well, so if you have to think,
and I've
back in the
I've spent a lot of years doing a lot of research, and I'm not an idiot. Like, I have a master's degree and stuff. Like, I do my research before I form an opinion.
So obviously, I mean, you have to wonder how far ahead the government is in technology compared to where it is, you know, right here in society.
What they want us to know,
right? I mean, the B-2 bomber.
It's the community. Right?
It is.
The B-2 bomber was invented, and I mean they had, you know, technology that prevented it from being spotted on radar long before we even knew that was possible. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah, the government is probably going to have some technology far ahead of us. But anytime that I hear something had traveled faster than the speed of light, I'm skeptical. And the reason is because anytime that we find that out, there's always some extenuating circumstance that proves our detection was wrong or there was an error with that. Yeah. And if we find out that something actually did go faster than the speed of light, we'd have to rewrite physics as we know it. Because everything that we have right now, as far as general relativity goes, it's based on the speed of light. So, and it's worked so far.
Sure.
So,
yeah. our technology. I could go down the rabbit hole so hard right now.
Just do it.
I don't know if we have all night. I'll take all day tomorrow. We got Dustin over here fucking falling asleep on us. Jesus. Dustin,
well,
come
you
on.
Said 7. I thought this would be like 7 to 8.
Oh my goodness. God.
What do you expect? There's this like guy. 7 dudes, 8 dudes in this room. What do you expect?
Again, one of my clients, Sven Dussel, I can get you some cream.
Listen, your pH balance sounds a little off.
It's a little higher.
A little off.
You seem a little aggravated.
My OBGYN said we're all pictures? Good, bro.
Yeah. Okay, so
I got my OB on speed dial, homie.
So before we go off topic too far,
sure.
If you and I want to have an actual discussion,
come back.
Let's do this when we're not doing a podcast.
Come back, and we'll do a podcast.
I'm totally geeking out right
whenever
now.
Whenever you guys want to dock it up, you can come back.
Dude, no one else wants to geek out with me.
Yeah, man, you and I could seriously have some off the wall conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
I have beliefs. Could you open that door? Crack it a little bit. She'll come in. She just wants to say what's up.
What's up?
She probably tore that Jack Link's.
I have some very off the wall views, and I don't consider them necessarily beliefs because I believe only in the things that I know truly to be.
So you believe in objective truths.
But
something that is true whether you believe in it or not.
But I do believe that certain people see things, and I do believe that there are higher powers at work that tend to conceal things that
and I have no problem with that at all. I'm totally the person. I will talk about pretty much anything and go over possibilities with anybody. I mean,
I've seen
how
weird
much
shit, man.
How
I've
much
never
do we
heard
really
weird
know?
Shit.
You know,
so
we only know what we know and what we've discovered so far, and we can make.
And we don't know what we don't know.
We can make assumptions. We can make assumptions based on the science that we do know. We can make assumptions, right? And they're really accurate assumptions. We can make assumptions, but Sometimes there are unexplainable things.
Sure.
And have you heard of God of the Gaps before?
No.
It's an expression used to explain something that is not yet that we do not yet understand. So, yeah. For instance, back in the 1600s with Galileo, no one knew why the moon revolved around the Earth and why the planets revolved around the sun.
And why the moon never fucking rotates. Why does the moon not rotate?
So, the reason why the moon never rotates is because it's stuck in gravitational lock.
No.
So the moon actually rotates.
So, bro.
The moon actually rotates at the same speed that it revolves around the Earth, so yeah. We only see one side of it.
Okay, I'm going to interject here for a second, because you just need to calm down for a minute.
Sorry.
Yeah. You've seen stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to punch you in the nuts.
Let me just finish one more point, okay? So the God of the Gaps, it's an expression. So back in Galileo, no one knew why planets revolved around the sun, et cetera, mm-hmm. right? So people would say, okay, so this is the limit that we have in science. So now that we don't understand that, it must be because of God. It must be because God is doing that, because we don't understand it. But then
God's a fucking alien, dude.
But then we find out later, the more that we advance and the more science that we figure out, right? And the more technologically advanced that we become, we figure things out that we didn't know before.
But what do you think God is, man? Do you think that's science, or do you think it's magic?
Space dust.
It's not fucking magic, dude. Like, the only way, and I had this on my last podcast,
mm-hmm.
the only way you can create a human being, Adam and Eve, God created Eve out of the rib of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you can do that is by literally cloning a human being out of stem cells. So if you want to get technical, homeboy travels online.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. So,
not fucking magic to me, dude.
You ever heard the song Dust in the Wind? That's what God is. Dust in the fucking wind, bro.
Yeah.
Dust in the
so
wind.
So, you're operating under the assumption...
You and I could get super geeky right now,
you're operating under the assumption that God has to obey the current laws of physics.
No, not the current laws of physics, but what you're saying is
the only way to make a human being is by cloning its DNA with stem cells. But if God is almighty and all powerful, why does he have to follow that? Why can't he just make a human being himself?
Because he created a human being out of stem cells, so the only way else he could create a human being would be to manipulate those stem cells.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I mean, like,
I don't know,
for
dude.
Me,
I think scientifically, I get super
too.
Geeky.
I do too.
You need to come back on the show.
Yes.
We're here for music. Let's talk about music.
Yeah.
I want to geek so hard right now.
I'm sorry, guys.
But we got like five other dudes right here who've been silent for a few minutes. Yeah.
It's a good thing this isn't live.
I love this. And everybody listening is probably like, no, they need to fucking talk about this. But you're coming back on the show and we're doing an update.
Right.
Fuck yeah.
You and I are going to do...
Add me on Facebook.
Yeah. So we are running on... Yeah, I mean, we're running on a good hour plus. So
yeah.
I'm not too worried about content here. We covered a ton of shit. What else do you guys want people to know? They can obviously find you on Instagram, Facebook,
Twitter.
Barely Twitter.
So close.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rely on Twitter too heavily.
Yeah, we don't use Twitter too much. I mean, we use Twitter to basically just update what we've already updated on Facebook.
And Instagram. And then, you just click.
I mean, Instagram and Facebook are the top two. Do not rely on anything else, because
we also have a Plenty of Fish account.
I wouldn't rely on that either, because okay. if you're trying to get laid on POF, then you're not going to get it here.
The only one in this band that isn't single is David.
Yeah, David.
I'm single.
Or, I mean, so, that is single is David. Sorry.
If there's any ladies listening, David is your man.
Yes.
If he is going to be your man, he's going to be the man. So you better buckle up.
He knows what you want. He knows how to give it to you.
I mean, that boot of justice.
He knows what girl. He knows what girls like, man.
Two words: magic fingers.
Oh man.
I don't know. If you want magic fingers, I would look at the lead guitar player instead of the rhythm guitar player.
No, no. You'd find me strung up from, like, the fucking Eagle Bridge or some shit, man. Don't even mention me.
I have a feeling after this podcast we're going to be management-less.
That's all right.
Because Dustin's over here freaking out.
Dustin's not going to remember what's going on.
We're
going
to be...
Hey, he hasn't had headphones the whole time.
So not just management-less, but fan-less.
I wouldn't go as far as talentless because we got some kind of talent even if you're here. So.
I mean, even if David's in the band.
Maybe he's here shows under the bridge.
Perfect, man. I know some hobos. It's cool. I took one home.
How much you got?
Spike, we're shooting this out to you, buddy.
Yeah, you rock, Spike.
No, you guys killed it. So everybody who is still listening, which is everybody plus 10 because... Let's be real. You're fucking sharing this.
That counter says -1.
Stay tuned. We're going to do an acoustic set. And if not, well, then you're just going to hear one of their songs at the end. But we're going to try to finagle this equipment. I got a bunch of audio equipment that I've never used for hooking up equipment. For hooking up instruments.
And we've got instruments we never played, so it's cool, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. So
This is actually going to be our first acoustic performance ever anywhere.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I really was stoked. I even told my roommate. She was like, oh, cool. And then she's like watching that.
she's like, cool. Just pay the rent. I mean, I'm going to go watch my Netflix.
Sound interested at all.
And I was sitting there thinking, you do realize there's a really cool band in your house right now.
That's part of your rent.
You're right.
Most people pay to see these guys.
Believe it or not, that's a bill right there. Dude.
Right.
Right.
We're bringing you acoustic rock.
Acoustic rock.
Rock, dude.
Awesome. Well, hey, Chapter Black, thanks again for swinging by with Locked Up Management. We're excited to see your show on the 28th, for all the kids of West Ada to help support, provide, what is it, all types of, like, curriculum?
Music instruments for the music program. Stuff.
Yeah. Music program, instruments.
And believe it or not,
For people in school, for kids.
You might not believe it, but we happen to have a free ticket for you. Sitting right here in David's little schlemmy little pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, what is that? Oh
my
God.
Just wipe the goop off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to show the camera.
Don't
bring it around.
Don't mind the crust, bro.
No, that's a fancy looking ticket.
That's
cool.
That's aged equipment right there.
Anything you can ticket, anything.
Yeah, man. So, Gemini Syndrome, Messer, Chapter Black,
and As Fire Falls.
Have you heard Gemini Syndrome?
I have.
They're fucking badass, man.
They're dope, dude. I love their first two albums.
And the Olympics is way sick, too.
Yeah,
so we were actually really, really surprised when we found out that they were going to be coming to the Olympic venue because of the size of it. So
that's what I was reading a bunch of comments about that. They were like, they should be in a bigger venue like they're in. But I mean, to be honest with you, it's more intimate that way.
It reminds me a lot of like the you know, the older days when we would go to concerts in kind of like smaller venues with really big bands, and everybody would be up close and personal and just raving out or like just moshing or just having fun. It you know, just feels more primal, and I like that.
I'm a big fan of that. It's more personal,
raw,
like you feel you're right up close with the music, and you kind of feel like you're with that band, like you're like at a house party, in my opinion, if I can't smell the guy
in front of me, it's not an intimate show.
Right.
It's even cooler when the singer is albino, so...
Oh yeah,
please
yeah.
Cut that out.
Yeah, who cares?
No, why not? David, I mean, hey, so
David's
so
got
the
small
singer,
leg.
The singer, the singer of Gemini Syndrome. I mean, everyone knows. You know, everyone knows that he's albino, and he's not shy about that. Like he talks about.
I think that's cool, man.
In his interviews and everything, and it's really cool. I mean, like they stand out. You know, and their music is amazing. So they're like. A very, very good band.
Well,
oh my fucking God.
And not to keep going, Dustin's over here. Yo, you can fall asleep, dude. You're not even
I'm
on
not
camera.
I drink some of that stuff.
He's got a fucking manager.
I was just going to say, one of the coolest things I think about Gemini Syndrome is their guitarist who joined the band a year ago is Meigs Raskoon from Cold Chamber.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, is actually, he the dude that's, is he the dude
so
that's
I,
had
I
head
saw
to
him
toe?
At a festival
no, that's
Jerome
the bass player.
Last year.
He's badass.
And my friend I was with was like, dude, that looks like Meigs Raskoon. So I went over to him. I'm like, are you Meigs Raskoon? He's like, yeah. I'm like, What are you doing here? And I was like, that is like the perfect fit. And I had actually missed Gemini Syndrome, but I got to chat with him for a while.
Fuck yeah.
Well, I had some friend. Fuck, what was I saying, man? You got me all distracted.
Oh, damn.
Hey, can you pass some of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, dog.
Some liquid lube.
Is there such thing as solid lube?
Oil.
Yeah.
That's not solid.
You know what, Andy? You've been talking this whole time. All right, you calm down.
Actually, I haven't. Zach has been talking about 50% of the time, too.
Whoa.
It's like, I barely even talked.
I think Joe said one word this whole
stuff
time.
Stuff here and there. I said six words.
Yeah, that's now.
It's more than six words now.
Now it's 12.
Now you're at 10. You're at your limit.
I can't.
You guys are great. All right, man. Well, let's go ahead and close this up because Dustin
is crying.
Yeah.
He's got to change his fucking diapers. Fucking love his guy. By the way, I met this dude at the gym and he fucking racquetballs his ass off. In case
he's
y'all
one of those
don't
guys.
Know.
Dave, do you play?
Yeah. You know, everybody fucking says that when they get in a racquetball court. They're like, oh man, maybe I'm just kidding.
Dude, hey, dude,
do you play with the old guys?
Dustin.
Huh?
You play with old guys?
I play with. Actually, there's this guy named Kobe that plays. He's the number one guy.
Is he 80 years old?
I believe it.
No, Dustin. He's like 24. He's
probably
fucking.
There's some
go.
Dudes who.
I will go and I will play racquetball with you.
Actually, there's another guy that's been playing there. He's just visiting. He was number one in the country of Mexico for like
people,
2 or 3 years. Like,
people think
good.
People don't really know. Certain subcultures get really into, like, obviously racquetball is like exercise, right?
Yeah.
But most people think like old dudes, blah blah blah, but there's certain subcultures and certain cultures in general that are like starting to transition to healthier lifestyles. So I had as you guys, I don't know, some of you might know, I know I own a nutritional supplement line.
Yeah,
so I mentioned that earlier in the episode, and I had a meeting with one of my buddies, a few of my buddies who are in the skateboard community. One skates for Lakai and Chocolate.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice. Like locally, because
like,
I'm
like,
also on the skateboard
scene.
Yeah, community.
Okay, so you and I probably know a lot of the same people. So I met with James Capps.
Sounds familiar.
I met with Colin Clark.
Okay, yeah.
So I used to skate with these guys back in the day, and we're going to wrap this up soon. But anyways, long story short, I had lunch with them because I was like, Colin Clark works for like Ride Channel.
Okay.
Like his job was literally like – he also works for California Kitchens. And he's like the I want to say he's like the senior producer, the senior content creator of like all their like super fancy dishes that they film.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, he also works for Ride Channel, and in one of his jobs for years and years was to wake up and call pro skaters like I don't know, Bucky Lassick and like all the big dudes and say, hey, you want to go skate today? Let's go film. Like, when we'll get you on Ride Channel, and we'll get you posted, and we'll get you money, right?
I remember when Ride Channel first came out, and they did a lot of, like, how-to videos.
Yes.
On like, certain tricks. And, I mean, that was, like, way back in 2007.
Yeah.
Right after YouTube came out, pretty much. And I love that channel. And now they're huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
They have so much more content.
Well, and this guy also films for, like, ESPN. He does X Games and stuff like that. Like, when it's his weekends, he, like, flies out and does, like, really cool contract work.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's kind of he's ingrained in that industry. And he just so happens to have a corporate job that allows him to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, he hit me up and he was like, hey, man, I'm in town. Let's meet. James Capps is in town. He's basically, like, he doesn't have pro status, but he gets paychecks. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because that's how it works. I didn't know this, but they gave me the lowdown in the skate industry. So he's going on tour with Lakai right now. Like, the dude's got, I mean, he's all over the place. Featured in Japan's, like, a bunch of, like, skate magazine stuff all over the world. Dude is just legit. And met for lunch. These guys were like, hey, man, like, what's funny is the skate industry is completely different. Like, everybody in the skate industry now like they don't smoke, they don't drink. Mm-hmm. These guys more or less like we go work out, we hit the gym,
like, and then
we
go skate.
Yeah, they're becoming more straight edge. You know, cigarettes.
Whereas
and, drink
like skateboarding when it first started becoming popular,
lawless.
It all was about lawless. Partying.
It was all about that
lawless, rockstar man. Lifestyle,
underground,
man.
Everything. Yeah.
And now they're like, dude, we'd be the perfect
Ben Margera level.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think there's two cultures now. There's the main culture of the professionals that do it.
And there's still the road life.
There's the subculture, which is the underground skaters. And I think
that party hard.
They still do the
probably
partying and everything. I think there are some pros that are still underground. There's some underground pros. I can't remember the name of one of them. There's one guy that I met before. He's really good, but he's not mainstream pro. But he is professional. He makes money doing it. It's his career. But he is still like in that party scene.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I would assume they're still a pretty hardcore party
so
scene.
So close.
Yeah.
But
not in the mainstream.
I would say it's trending towards a healthier lifestyle from what I gathered. And the only reason I say that is because I had lunch with three guys. One straight from Tokyo, who is a professional cinematographer, who is in LA just filming professional skateboarding for Trans World and stuff like that. And then Colin, my buddy. And then my buddy who also skates, James Capps. And they were all kind of parroting the exact same statement, like skateboarding culture's trending more towards a healthier lifestyle. So, it doesn't surprise me. And I've also approached a couple bands that, because if you look at like a lot of bands, you know, a lot of those like singers and stuff, like there are a lot of bands where drummers, like guitarists, you know, some of them are fucking shredded and jacked.
Dude,
and
the fucking singer from Nothing More?
Yeah,
that motherfucker is.
Dude,
he's a fucking washboard, man.
Tons
of them. He's really toned, but he's not jacked. He's really toned, but he's not jacked.
He's shredded. He's shredded.
The lead singer from As I Lay Dying.
He's jacked.
He is huge.
Phil Labonte, man. Yeah, he's got his own gym and everything, man. He owns his own gym. He's fucking great.
Pull up a picture of
Flag Nor Fail. That dude's jacked.
Yeah.
They're all jacked.
Pull up a picture of the old drummer from Korn. Like
David Silvera.
David Silvera.
Oh, I've seen how big he is.
Huge.
He's pretty big. David Silvera.
Yeah.
Shit, like the most recent drummer for Whitechapel. He's swole as fuck.
Yeah. And Whitechapel's playing in Jerome in November.
I already bought tickets.
You already did?
Oh, I already bought tickets.
Well, I'm excited for that.
We have a friend of ours that's playing that show.
Yeah. Those are outlets that I personally would be like, hey man, I'd be totally down to sponsor like musicians and hook them up with, because my pre-workout, if you took it before a show, it's not like a pre-workout like
a nootropic almost.
It's an adrenaline rush. So I have phenylethylamine, caffeine, and essentially what that does, it triggers, so you actually don't get a caffeine high, you get an adrenaline high. So phenylethylamine PEA is considered like, they call it like the happy drug. And basically what it does, it gives you an adrenaline rush, but it also increases your norepinephrine and your dopamine. So it makes you happy, but it also increases your adrenaline and your noradrenaline uptake. So you get like a really good feel and you get an energy kick, but you don't crash. It's not like a spike, like a mental spike.
I'm gonna have to get some of that.
So it sounds almost natural.
It is very much natural, and it passes like WADA. Like I said, I have a girl who, like, I mean, we have people who train, and now they're fighting in like Bellator and UFC and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and they do pretty stringent drug tests. And I sponsor high school athletic programs. Like, I've got college athletic programs. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's a clean product. I'm not here trying to make a sales pitch. This is your guys' show.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, your guys' industry is like somewhere is an industry that's somewhat untapped. Like, if I were to put up a banner, you know, Pro Edge Nutrition, like, whatever, fan club or something like that, right?
Yeah.
behind your guys' stage, or like, well, just slap it on your guys' thing, or something like that.
I think,
or sell it at your shows, and you guys would make a cut out of all the sales you make. It's whatever, because I would guarantee there's people who like work out.
Yeah, so I think the health industry does kind of intertwine with the music industry a little bit.
Yeah,
because at least. Maybe not necessarily for the people that actually go to concerts, but the musicians themselves, because actually performing is such a workout in itself. Being healthy and fit is it just makes it a lot easier to be able to perform all the time, and it's a lot, you know, less strenuous on your body if you're in shape. And
but people who work out listen to your type of music.
Yeah,
exactly.
So the people that do
there's
go to
a
the
link
concerts,
there.
The people that do...
That's what I'm saying.
Because
like,
a,
if you
a lot
guys
the,
like are shredded
nuts,
and you guys are jacked or whatever...
Yeah.
Yoked. A just lot, fucking yoked.
A lot of the health nuts or the bodybuilders, they do listen to a lot of metal. They listen to metal to get them pumped up and you know, to get them motivated. The so,
yeah.
Oh, you are missing out, bro.
So do you follow any specific workout program, or do you just kind of have your own thing?
Well, I have a hybrid. I took a 6-week shred from back in the day, and I kind of integrated a lot of different workouts from like my college football program.
Okay.
And then whatever I couldn't do, I've had multiple knee surgeries, and so I have a few restrictions with my kneecap because I have some implants in my knee.
So are you more like upper body workout?
Right? No, I do everything.
Plyometrics,
but
a little bit of weight training.
I mean, I do everything. I train as a boxer. I compete as a boxer.
Do you have any martial arts experience?
Of course he does.
Just boxing, actually.
Just boxing? Just
it's a martial arts right there. So.
Yeah, but I mean like anything else other than
that's boxing. Just boxing. Okay. I've done it for 12 years. A long time, I guess. Yeah. Had fun with it. But no, so I used to be 240 pounds when I played football. So I was a big boy. Right now I'm like 195, so I'm a lot more lean, but my body wants to be around this size.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not a lot of work.
Right.
To maintain.
It's just a little bit of maintenance with whatever you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm at the point as far as like age wise goes where I don't necessarily think I need to push myself too much harder. Cause to be honest with you, where I'm at, most people who are even younger than me aren't. Where I'm at, like athletically, I mean just because you can put like 50 more pounds on your bench doesn't mean that you're faster than me or more flexible.
And the thing is
when it comes down to it, that's how.
Yeah, so I mean there's like the one thing I don't agree with is the BMI scale.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either.
I don't either, because like you could have a ton of muscle. I mean, you could have a ton of muscle and weigh like 200 pounds and be like 5'8", and on according to the BMI scale, you would be
obese.
Yeah, yes.
No shit.
But you could be
I'm
fit
obese
and toned
right
as
now,
hell, right? But you're like as thin as a toothpick.
7% body fat at 195 pounds.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm obese.
Yeah, I mean, it just BMI doesn't it doesn't make sense.
At 95% fat.
But no, you're healthy. You're healthy, and I. I just quit smoking 2 weeks ago. So,
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm really,
as I'm over here.
No, doesn't bother me at all, but like I'm starting to really consider my health because I've had a smoker's cough for years and it got worse and it kind of freaked me out. So I was like, all right, it's time to quit, you know? So I quit smoking. I did it cold turkey. I gave my keys and all of my money to my fiance, and I had her lock me in our apartment for 3 days.
Ooh.
And because nothing else worked, the patch, the gum, nothing worked for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I need to be kind of forced to go through these withdrawals. And so I did. And after that, it was all right. And, but I've really started looking into my health, and I want to start working out more and getting into shape and everything. And now that I'm not smoking, I have a lot more energy, surprisingly, like a lot more motivation to actually be healthy.
Yeah.
You know,
no doubt.
And I've noticed a difference in my singing as well. Like I can actually hold a note better, and actually breathe easier, you know?
Yeah.
So
maybe we should get a little bit
on
of
stage.
Little taste of that, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
So speaking of.
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this up. We'll get this this acoustic set hooked up real quick. We'll get your couple songs going. And
treat, man.
If all else fails, then everybody just look for the music afterwards. So anyways, thanks.
I will say one thing real quick. Sorry to interject.
You're good, dude.
But the weirdest thing that I found out is that after I quit smoking, screaming was a completely different process. I had to relearn how to scream.
And you have a very unique scream.
Oh, yeah, it's
cool, man.
It's more like mids and highs.
It matches your guys' style.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like yeah.
So like,
which isn't bad.
Yeah. So a week after. Oh, so about a week after I quit smoking, I couldn't even scream anymore. I forgot how to, like, it just, because it's a different feeling now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to relearn how to do it.
The response is different.
Yeah, I mean, because my voice is becoming a lot more clear.
Ballad.
As I get all of the crap out of my lungs, you know, just it's becoming a lot more clear. So I had to relearn how to scream. And so it's different, man. It's weird, but it's cool. It just feels good, and you know. So I'm excited,
dude. I'm stoked to hear you guys' acoustic set, and this is my first acoustic set, so hopefully it worked out. Anyways, go ahead and subscribe to any podcast app. To be honest with you, I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, anything in between.
Yeah,
Castbox. Podcast Addict.
Click that thumbs up, bro.
You name it. Click thumbs up. Go ahead and swing by their Instagram and their Facebook pages over at Chapter Black Band on Instagram and Chapter Facebook. Black Band on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for tuning in. I appreciate you guys coming in and doing this
for me.
Thank you. All the quiet guys, maybe we'll have you in a separate day.
Yeah, can we have our own separate podcast?
Right.
And we'll get Andy in on his own too, so we can geek out.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
it'd be complete a blast, geek
dude.
Out,
dude. It'd be so much fun.
Podcast.
All right, man. Well, much love. Thanks again for tuning in, and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Addiction pulls me in, but I have nothing left to give. When I called your name, you walked away from me, and you left me beaten down. Yourself.
of yourself. And I tried so hard to leave this place. Cause all it's given me is pain. This pain is killing me. Never would have thought that she could be so heartless. Would have given you everything, but she would just let me drown. You let me drown. Drown! You let me drown! You let me drown! Just save yourself!
Sit down.